Satanism and Communism by Richard Wurmbrand. Chapter 6, A Spiritual Warfare, The Little and the Big Devils. According to current official Marxist doctrine, which has been illustrated, is only a disguise, neither God nor the devils exist. Both are fancies. Because of this teaching, Christians are persecuted by the communists. However, the Soviet newspaper Communism Uzvara, April 1974, reported that many atheist circles were created in the Red Latvia school. The name given the children in the 4th through the 6th grades was Little Devils, while 7th graders were called Servants of the Devil. In another school, 8th graders had the name Faithful Children of the Devil. All the meeting, the children came clothed as devils, complete with horns and tails. Thus, it was forbidden to worship God, though devil worship was openly permitted and even encouraged among children of school age. This was the hidden objective of the communists when they seized power in Russia. In Vitebsk, USSR, Zoya Titova, a member of the communist youth organization, was caught practicing black magic. When her case was brought before the assembly of the communist youth, there was unanimous refusal to punish her, though members who decided to worship God were expelled. The communists considered it wrong to believe in God. For this crime, many children were separated from their families and kept in special atheist boarding schools. Incredibly, the communists even wanted to make Satan worshippers of church leaders. A Russian Orthodox priest named Platonov, an anti-Jewish agitator, went over to the side of the communists when they came to power in Russia. For this, he was made a bishop and became a Judas who denounced members of his flock to the secret police, well knowing they would be severely persecuted. One day, while on a bus, he met his sister Alexandra, an abbess who had been arrested many times, apparently with her brother's knowledge. He asked her, "Why don't you speak to me? Don't you recognize your brother?" And she answered, "You ask why? Father and mother would turn over in their graves. You are serving Satan." Though an official Orthodox bishop in the Soviet Union, he replied, "Perhaps I am Satan myself." Pravoslavanya Rus writes, "The Orthodox Cathedral in Odessa, so much loved by the Odessites, became the meeting place of Satanists soon after the communists came to power. They gathered also in Slobodoka Romania and in Count Tolstoy's former home." Then follows a detailed account of Satanist masses said by Deacon Sergei Mihalov of the Treacherous Living Church, an Orthodox branch established in connivance with a communist. An attendant describes the Satanist Mass as a parody of the Christian liturgy in which human blood is used for communion. These Masses took place in the cathedral before its main altar. Also in Odessa, a statue of Satan used to be exhibited in the Museum of the Atheists. It was called Baphomet. At night, Satanists would gather in the museum for prayer and chanting before the statue. Religious obscenities. It might be in some sense logical that communists would arrest priests and pastors as counter-revolutionaries. But why were priests compelled by the Marxists in the Romanian prison of Pitești to say mass over excrement and urine? Why were Christians tortured into taking communion with these as the elements? Why such an obscene mockery of religion? Why did the Romanian Orthodox priest, Roma Braga, whom I knew personally when he was a prisoner of the communists and who presently resides in the USA, have his teeth knocked out one by one with an iron rod in order to make him blaspheme? The communists had explained to him and others, "If we kill you Christians, you go to heaven. But we don't want you to be crowned martyrs. You should curse God first and then go to hell." In the prison of the Pitești, the communists would force a very religious prisoner to be baptized daily by putting his head into the barrel in which his fellow sufferers had fulfilled their necessities, meanwhile obliging the other prisoners to sing the baptismal service. A theology student was forced to dress in white sheets in imitation of Christ's robe, and a phallus made out of soap was hung around his neck with a string. Christians were beaten to insanity to force them to kneel before such a mocking image of Christ. After they had kissed the soap, they had to recite part of the liturgy. Some prisoners were compelled to take off their trousers and sit with their naked bottoms on open Bibles. Such blasphemous practices were perpetrated for at least 2 years with the full knowledge of the party's top leadership. What have such indignities to do with socialism and the well-being of the proletariat? Were their anti-capitalist slogans not merely pretexts for organizing satanic blasphemies and orgies? Marxists are supposed to be atheists who believe in neither heaven nor hell. In these extreme circumstances, Marxism has lifted its atheistic mask to reveal its true face, the face of Satanism. Communist persecution of religion might have a human explanation, but the fury of such perverse persecution can only be satanic. In Roman prisons and in the Soviet Union as well, nuns who would not deny their faith were raped anally, and Baptist girls had oral sex forced on them. Many prisoners who were so treated died as martyrs. But the communists were not satisfied with this. Using Luciferian techniques, they made martyrs die blaspheming because of the delirium provoked by torture. Only once in all his works did Marx ever write about torture. During his own lifetime, many of his followers were tortured by Roman Caesarist authorities. Since Marx is usually described as a humanist, one would expect him to write with horror about such an abominable practice. But his only comment was, "Torture alone has given rise to the most ingenious mechanical inventions and employed many honorable craftsmen in the production of the instruments. Torture is productive. It leads to ingenious inventions." That is all Marx had to say about the subject. No wonder Marxist governments have surpassed all others in torturing their opponents. This alone displays the satanic nature of Marxism. Marxism also is based on hatred for God. In 1923, in the Soviet Union, mock trials of God were held in the presence of Trotsky and Lunacharsky. But such opposition to God and his people did not belong only to the past. Satanist desecration of Catholic churches occurred in the 1970s in Upna, Dotnev, Zanaisiu, Kalvaracha, Sede, etc., localities in Lithuania. One about which we know happened in Alcidai on September 22, 1980. In his book, Psychiatric Hospital 14, Moscow Georgio Fedotov tells of his conversations with a psychiatrist, Dr. Vladimir Lewitsky, about a Christian named Argentov, who was detained there. The physician says, "You are pulling your friend Edward toward God, and we toward the devil. So I'm using my rights as a psychiatrist to not deny you and your friends access to him." The Christian Salu Daka Nedebeli was interrogated by the secret police of Maputo in communist Mozambique. The officer said to him, "We want you to kill your God." He raised his gun toward the head of the prisoner and declared, "This is my God. With this I have power of life and death. If your God comes here, I will shoot him dead myself." In Chiasso, communist Angola, communists slaughtered animals in a church and placed their heads on the altar and pulpit. A poster proclaimed, these are the gods whom you adore. Pastor Aurelio Chichan Kenha Sanwengi was killed together with 150 parishioners. When the Catholic Lithuanian priest Eugene Sikavek was killed, his mouth was found to have been filled with bread, an apparent Satanist ritual. Vecheniai Moskva, a new communist newspaper, let pass a Freudian slip of the pen. "We do not fight against believers and not even against clergymen. We fight against God to snatch believers from him." A fight against God to snatch believers from him is the only logical explanation for the communist fight against religion. We do not wonder at these words in a Soviet newspaper. Marx had already said it in his book, German Ideology, calling God the absolute spirit, as his teacher Hegel had done. He wrote, "We are concerned with a highly interesting question, the decomposition of the absolute spirit." Was not a fight against false belief in a non-existent God that preoccupied him. He believed that God does exist and wanted to see this absolute spirit decompose, like many prisoners of the communists who were made to rot in jail. In Albania, a priest, Stephen Kurti, was sentenced to death for having baptized one child. Baptisms must be performed in secret in many communist lands, including North Korea. The prosecutor at the trial of Metropolitan Benjamin of Leningrad said, "The whole Orthodox Church is a subversive organization. Properly speaking, the entire church ought to be in prison. The only reason all Christians are not in jail in the Soviet Union is that the communists are not quite powerful enough, but the will to destroy is there. Unrestrained by the Spirit of God and empowered by the forces of evil, they would intend to destroy the whole earth, including themselves. In the former Soviet Union, baptisms could be officiated only after registration. Persons wishing to be baptized or to have their child baptized presented their identity cards to the representative of the church board, who in turn reported them to the state-run authorities. The result was persecution. Kolkhoznik's workers on collective farms had no identity cards and could therefore baptize their children only secretly. Many Protestant pastors received prison sentences for baptizing people. The communist fight against baptism presupposes belief in its value for a soul. Religious people in Israel or Pakistan or Nepal oppose baptism in the name of their own religious outlook because it is a Christian seal. But for atheists, as communists clearly declare themselves to be, baptism should mean nothing. Supposedly, it neither benefits nor harms the baptized. Why then do these communists fight against baptism? It is because communists fight against God to snatch believers from him. Their ideology is not really inspired by atheism, but by a fervent hatred for God. Among other purposes, said Lenin, we created our party specifically for the fight against any religious deceiving of the people. Occult practices. More about the relationship between Marxism and the occult can be found in Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder. It is highly significant that the Communist East had been much more advanced than the West in research about the dark forces manipulated by Satan. Dr. Edward Naumoff, a member of the International Association of Parapsychologists, was arrested in Moscow. The Moscow physicist El Regalason, a Hebrew Christian who took his defense, tells us the reason for his arrest. Naumov endeavored to keep the psychic sphere of life free from the domination of evil forces. They used parapsychology as a new weapon for the oppression of the human soul. In Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, etc., the Communist Party spent huge sums on secret investigations into this science. They hid from the West information about what happened in the 20 parapsychological institutions located in the Soviet Union. Komsomolskaya Pravda, Moscow, published a lengthy article about hypnotists who help people regress to past lives. For the induction process, they used the following suggestions. You descend into earth deeper, even deeper. You and the earth become one. You are deep in the earth. You are surrounded by thick darkness. Around you is eternal night. Now we approach a spot of light far away, nearer and nearer. We sneak through a small hole to the sky, leaving our own body deep in the earth. We overcome the frontiers of time and we return to your past. In such articles, the Soviets used intentional double talk. Aware that some might be frightened, they were purposefully reserved, claiming they only informed without agreeing. But what would readers think of an editor who represented a provocative article and lustful pictures endlessly from Playboy while claiming that he did not fully agree with what he was purveying to the public? Soviet writers said that clearly this time machine was not science fiction. Transpersonalism offered this voyage in time. In the Satanist black masses, all prayers are said from end to the beginning, and the priestly robe is worn inside out. Inversion is the Satanist rule, and this is applied even to the doctrine of reincarnation. Whereas Indian devotees are concerned about their future reincarnations and try to better themselves by obeying what they believe to be God's commandments, the Satanists offer a return to former incarnations. They care nothing about a better future in eternity. Marxism as a church. Just as Satan came to Jesus with Bible verses, so Marx used texts of scriptures, though with much distortion. Volume 2 of the works of Marx and Engels opens with Jesus' words to his disciples, John 6:63, as quoted by Marx in his book, The Holy Family. It is the Spirit which gives life. Then we read, criticism, his criticism of all that exists, so loved the masses that it sent its only begotten Son, that is, Marx, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have a life of criticism. Criticism became masses and lived among us, and we saw its glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. Criticism did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made itself of no reputation, taking the form of a bookbinder and humbled itself up to nonsense, yes, critical nonsense in foreign languages. Those knowledgeable in scriptures will recognize this as a parody of biblical verses, John 3:16, 1:14, Philippians 2:6, 8. Here again, Marx declares his own words to be nonsense as well as swinish books. Marxism is a religion, and he even uses scriptures. Its main work, The Capital, by Marx, is called the Bible of the Working Class. Marx considered himself the Pope of Communism. Communism has the pride of infallibility. All who oppose communist creed, the expression is used by Engels, are excommunicated. Marx wrote, Borkenin should beware, otherwise we will excommunicate him. Those who die in the service of Marxism are feasted as martyrs. Marxism also had its sacraments, the solemn receptions in the toddlers organization called the Children of October, the oaths given when received as pioneers, after which become the higher grades of initiation in the Komsomol and the party. Confession is replaced with public self-criticism before the assemblies of party members. Marxism is a church. It has all the characteristics of a church, yet its God is not named in its popular literature, but as seen by the proofs given in this book, Satan is obviously its God. It is strange that though Marxism is clearly satanic, it is not seen as a threat by many churches in the free world. Some illuminating statistics are available. Seminary professors in the USA were asked, can an individual consistently be a good member of your denomination and adhere to Marxism? Below are the percentage figures of those who answered yes. Episcopalian, 68%. Lutheran, 53%. Presbyterian, 49%, Methodist, 49%, Church of Christ, 47%, American Baptist, 44%, Roman Catholic, 31%. How sad that those who follow the truth are duped by those who serve the father of lies.